Good morning, church. What a great joy it is to see your smiling faces this day as we come together to celebrate the gifts and the blessings that can only come to us through Almighty God. As we come together this day, we hope and pray that the presence of Christ might indeed touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits in some new and unique ways. And as we worship together, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Good morning. As you find your way back to your seats, I would like to offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially any visitors. And if you are interested in our church, we have a welcome packet of information that you can get from our ushers, or if you so please, you can retrieve it from the Shepherd's Crook immediately outside the double doors in the narthex. I would ask that you sign the registration sheet in the red folders located at the end of your pew. After you sign it, pass it to others, and then bring it back to the center aisle. If you have a prayer request this morning, you can use the 3x5 index card that you'll find in that red holder. Complete that, and then put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and the ushers will bring it forward to Reverend Lake. I would like to highlight a few announcements, and we also have some folks that are going to be talking, Jack and Diane Runser. But first, an announcement. Graduation Sunday is June 5th, and this is the day that we as a church family recognize those that are graduating, be it from high school, college, or another program that you are a graduate. So if you yourself are a graduate or you know someone graduating, please contact the church office no later than next Monday, May 30th, so that their information or your information can be included in the bulletin. And I'm going to call Jack up for his announcement. And while he's walking forward, I want to remind you that annual conference will be held on Wednesday, June 8th. So if you do have an interest in attending, please see Reverend Lake today or contact the office. And now we have Jack. Diane Runser's going to go first. They're doing the little.
So I have time to get back down there. Sorry, Diane. First of all, there are still some banners left. They are in the assembly room outside the pastor's office, right in that direction. If you want to look through them and see if there's any of sentimental value to you, perhaps your name or your child's name is on there on one of the banners, or perhaps you were in a Sunday school class that made a banner and you want to put it back in your Sunday school class. This is the last week that you can take those. After today, we will be disposing of them. So please check that out. Secondly, directories. Most of your bulletins have a directory order form in it. We want to have these by the end of June. We want to have them in your hands, we hope, or at least by the 1st of July. So it's important that you get those orders in. They are $10 for each issue that you want. You may order multiple copies if you wish. If your bulletin does not have a form, there are extra forms on the table at the entrance of the sanctuary. We must have your check attached to the form, and it can be dropped off either in the offering plate or in the church office at any time during the week. Thank you.
Good morning. I made you a promise last week, those of you who are here, and that is that we are going to continue to update you with regards to where we stand with the work trip. First of all, we're still going. So just wanted to make sure you knew that. All kidding aside, we got information from Debbie, the financial secretary, to let us know that as of August of last year through last Sunday, we currently have $3,228 for this year's build. So give yourselves a round of applause. I said to Pat, is that just for this year? And she said, yeah, that does not include anything that was left over from the previous years. This church, and again, in my article, they'll be in the June newsletter, I called it missions strong. it never ceases to amaze me how much this church, this congregation, has been behind this particular effort. And when I mentioned that last evening at the Saturday service, Connie Bickerstaff said, "This church has always been mission strong, and I'm just proud to be a part of it." But I want to let you know something. You know, I'd also made a statement last week that Pat and I have made a commitment that we will be doing this as long as we possibly can. And some folks who are still members of this work team, they're not members of this church, nor have they been over the past years. It's not just this church, but it's the Rick Sims Memorial Work Trip. It's in Rick's honor that we do these things. And the folks who have been a part and will continue to be a part of that, whether they're coming to this particular church or going to other churches, who want to be a part of that, will continue to be a part of that. And I just wanted to let you know that we are open to that. We've even taken Catholics with us. So Presbyterians, I think we've had. You know, so this is an all-inclusive group. This isn't about First Church, even though First Church has always been the champion toward this. If you know of someone who is interested in going on the trip, you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be associated with anybody from the church. Carl Jarley, who went with us 2 years ago, was from Monroeville, Garden City. And he still keeps in contact with us, wanting to know how things are going, and he moved out of the area. So it's a life-changing situation. And those of you who have been a part, I see heads nodding, you know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have supported it, you have created those life changes. Even though that amount of money has come in, we still want to give opportunity to those of you who want to contribute to buy the materials so that those names of loved ones, either in memory and honor or to the glory of God, will be placed on those particular items before they go into the build. It's very important. It was something that was seen to be a very positive thing last year, and we will continue it. There is an insert in your bulletin, and again, as Di said, if it's not in there, there will be one in the narthex. The other thing is, if you want to contribute toward a scholarship or just make in general contribution toward materials, there are envelopes that are in the church pews. We thank you for all of those contributions. Patty will be coming first of the June, which is in 2 weeks. It's amazing. And letting you know about the non-perishable items that she's going to be needing to help with the kitchen. I just want you to continue to keep this in your prayers, keep the Pitzer family in your prayers. I mentioned last evening that I am very close to having all of the plans done already. And I thought I had them all done until I sat down and started figuring out all the pieces of the puzzle and said, "Oh, no, I forgot a few things." And so I had a few more things to do. So another hour or two. And now when I said that, Pat rolled her eyes because she knows how many hours go by when I sit in front of that tube creating those drawings. But that's what it takes in order to make this happen in 2.5 days. And what it takes is your support, your continued prayers, and God's leadership. And God bless you.
Thank you, Jack. So many different ways to participate in this amazing mission work that we have been doing for how many years now, Jack? Have you been going to Philippi? 24 years. Praise the Lord. And for those of us that are true Methodists, we know why the Catholics and the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians come, because we know how to cook. And we eat well on work trips. So our secret might be getting out there, the words on the street. And a final announcement, I do want to have you take note of a little program, seminar, exercise, I'm not sure what it is, the art of moving. Leanne, did I hit all bases, perhaps? This is the art of moving prayer, and it is a spiritually-based stress management and relaxation program. And it will be held here at the church on Sunday, June 5th. And as Jack pointed out, June is literally right around the corner. That's Sunday evening, June 5th, from 6 to 8. There's a bit of information in the bulletin I would ask you to check out. You do need to RSVP. There's a phone number in there, and there's also a $10 fee. So to de-stress and deprogram, this sounds like the perfect fix. And then just a final reminder, I would ask that you check your bulletin for other announcements, scheduled meetings, and activities that pertain to the life of our church. I would ask that you now stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. To you, O people, wisdom calls. Wisdom calls. Please remain standing and follow along with me for our opening prayer in your bulletin. O Lord, you reveal wisdom and spiritual insight through your presence in creation. When we look at the heavens, we see your vastness. When we look at seas teeming with fish and verdant fields painted like a canvas, we see your creativity and your bounty. For all of this and so much more, we praise your name. Amen. And now remain standing for our hymn of praise number 92 in your red hymnal.
are you today? Good, good, good. Do you notice somebody on my necktie? Who's on there? Larry who? Larry from VeggieTales. Larry the cucumber. And down here on the corner is part of Bob the tomato. Is that Larry Boy? I wondered who that was. He looks like he has plungers coming out of his head. They are plungers? And who's this guy right here? Is that Junior Asparagus? Yes. I think you're right. The VeggieTale version of Frankenstein. Yes. And I heard you watched a VeggieTale during Sunday school today. Larry the Cucumber is the longest one of them all, isn't he? Yes. So which one did you watch in Sunday school today? Daniel and the Lion's Den. And a couple weeks ago at our Bible study, because some of the adults had never seen them, we watched Shack, Rack, and Benny and the Big Chocolate Bunny. But do you know what one of my favorite ones is? Madam Blueberry. Madam Blueberry is not very happy, is she? She is sad. She is blue. She is very blue, and I don't know whether I can do it or not. I'm sorry, Abigail, I'm going to embarrass you. Madam Blueberry, me. Madam Blueberry sings the song, I'm so blue. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh, I'm so blue, I don't know what to do. She didn't know what to do. And how did Madam Blueberry make herself happy? She went and bought things at Stuff Mart. I know. And Madam Blueberry lived where? In a treehouse. And it got so full of stuff from Stuff Mart that it tipped. Did it twang? I don't remember whether or not it did. And Madam Blueberry realized that stuff does not make us happy. But what does make us happy? God makes us happy. And having God right here in our hearts and listening to what God says to us and wants us to do. Do you always listen? Do you always hear when you listen? I'll bet everybody out there has heard things before, but not listened. Spouses? Would you? Oh, I see some heads nodding. Either yourself or your spouse. Sometimes we don't always listen to each other. We hear, but we don't listen. And God wants us to hear and listen to what God is calling and asking us to do. So remember, just as you hear and listen from your mom and dads, that's the way we work with God as well. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. And we know that you will continue to bless them, to direct them, to guide them. And pray that everyone who cares for them, from their moms and dads to their grandparents to their teachers, that they might experience your presence as well. For this, O God, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Merciful and mild.
choir for that beautiful anthem. And our responsive reading this morning is Psalm 8. It may be found on page 743 of your red hymnal. Please respond to my prompt. O Lord, our Lord, your glory is chanted above the heavens by the mouth of babes and infants. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Yet you have made them little less than God. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. All sheep and oxen,
and also the beasts of the field,
the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. O Lord, our Lord. And at this time, I would ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Most sovereign God, your splendor shines throughout the universe. Your glory is higher than the heavens and fills the world you created in great beauty and variety. We rejoice that you do not stay far away in heaven, but became one of us in your Son, our Savior. Please accept these offerings and extend your love through the church's ministries. We ask all of this in your Son's name. Amen.
Please be seated. come to that time to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst, I would invite you to turn on the back of our worship folder where our prayer list is listed. A couple additions to make this morning. Patty is now been moved to Hempfield Manor, so we will want to continue to pray for her continued recovery and rehabilitation. Bill, I received a call Friday evening from Snyder Funeral Home that Bill has passed. His visitation is this afternoon and this evening, and then his services will be at the Snyder Funeral Home at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. So we'll want to remember Bill's family during this time of their grief as well. Some additional ones you'll see down in the middle of this month's prayer list. Cheryl is listed, wife of Chuck, who grew up in this church. I understand that she will be meeting with an oncologist this week, so we will want to keep her in our prayers for wisdom and discernment. And also, please include the name of Matt on your prayer list as well. Along with those other individuals that are listed there, let us also remember those situations that are near and dear to our hearts that are around the world. General Conference has come to a conclusion on Friday, and some have said that it's the second General Conference in a row that not much has happened, but we do have a new hymnal. I wasn't aware that we really needed one, but we have a new hymnal. And so the next gathering to pray for will be annual conference, which will be the second week of June at Grove City, where all the delegates from around Western Pennsylvania will be meeting. And then the third week, I believe, the week of July 15th. I think the 15th is a Thursday, but it will be that week when jurisdictional conference will be meeting. And then on the morning of the 15th, I understand about 6:30 in the morning, we will find out who our new bishop is, and then we'll also probably learn where Bishop Bickerton is reassigned and where he will be going. Somebody was asking me earlier, a bishop is appointed to an area for 4 years, and they can be reappointed two more times for a total of 12 years. After 12 years, it's mandatory that they must move. And so Bishop Bickerton is winding up his 12th year, so he must move according to the Book of Discipline, and then we will be receiving a new bishop for a minimum of 4 years. Got a question?
Yeah. You might want to hear this up at the conference that they should do this with the minister, not under the bishop.
Every 4 years, yeah. Automatic. And then you can leave them for 8 or 12 years. That would have been, that's not a bad idea. That would have been, that action would have needed to have been voted on last week during General Conference, because that would be a discipline item, I believe. But that could be a petition sent in 4 years when General Conference meets again. And to keep some of the equality between bishops and laity. But I'll pass that on to individuals that can make some of those things happen or at least have it presented. Any other joys or concerns? Yeah. On issues.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't read those articles. Somebody's bringing them in for me, or cut them out and make sure that I get them. I don't believe that the United Methodist Church, because General Conference is over, I don't believe that it's going to be splitting, at least for 4 years. There's some solidness there right now. My understanding is that some issues have been referred to a study commission, which we are great at doing, study it for 4 years or 8 years and do nothing. One of these days, we're going to have to make some decisions. Whether or not it will split the church, that I don't know. The bigger conversation is that we in the United States have controlled the United Methodist Church for the last 100 years or so. We have been the controlling influence. Over the last couple general conferences, our vote has been about 40 or 55%. And that now scares us because we're no longer the controlling vote in the United Methodist Church. The United States is not. And so for years, other countries, what's called the Central Conference, which is everybody outside of the United States, they have said, why don't you let us become autonomous United Methodist churches, our own conferences, or our own entity, and we have two forms of the Book of Discipline, one that we all adhere to, some basics, and then other legislation that we in different countries can adhere to on our own. We have said no, because we like to be in charge and in control. But now that we're losing that control, we are saying, well, maybe we ought to consider having some differences in the Book of Discipline, a set that we adhere to and then another set that the United States abides by, and then, you know, South America abides by, Europe, Africa, wherever. And now that's gaining some more attractiveness. So we'll see where that happens. That obviously will not happen for at least 4 more years, or we'll study again and it'll be in 8 more years or whatever. About the church potentially splitting over issues. Yeah. It won't happen in the next 4 years. It will not. It just won't happen. You may have some people get upset and angry, or some churches get upset and angry. But you need to realize that in the United Methodist Church, if you're not familiar with our Book of Discipline and our polity, push comes to shove, this building belongs to the denomination. Does not belong to the members of this church. Belongs to the denomination. And so the building will always stay in the hands of the denomination. So for those churches that want to split away, there's got to be some plan in place as to how that happens. Because you just can't secede from the denomination and take the building with you. Won't happen. Because the building belongs to the United Methodist Church, not the individuals. So it gets a little complicated and a little hairy. I would say trust the power and the presence of God and be in prayer. Let's, in the meantime, be involved in mission and ministry that needs to happen to God's people. And hear what God is saying and speaking to us. We're good at listening, we're not always good at hearing. That's the sermon today. So, anyone else? Let's unite our hearts and spirits in our prayer hymn this morning. Number 368, My Hope Is Built. Let's sing together. Gracious and loving God, our hope is built upon you. For you are the one who has established your church. You are the one who has gifted each and every one of us with the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ. The one who was, who is, and who will forever be. The one who came and dwelt in our midst, who became one of us, who lived in the midst of people, whose teachings brought good news to the poor and to the captive, to the free, to the slave, to men and women, to people of all colors. He brought good news. And he is the one who challenges us to have the ears to hear. Oh God, we know how easy it is in life to hear but to not comprehend. To hear but not to remember. To hear but to not take it to heart. You desire for each and every one of us, oh God, to hear and to be involved in mission and ministry. Not only within the walls of the church, but perhaps even more importantly, outside the walls of the church. To those that society pushes away as the least, the lost, the lonely, the marginal, the pushed aside, to those that the world doesn't know how to deal with them or does not want to welcome them. But you, O God, did. You call us to take the stories of Jesus Christ and to make them alive in our world today. And we know, O God, how much easier that is said than done. Sometimes we know the stories, but you can't possibly ask us to do that. And so we struggle. We allow things to go undone. We turn around and walk the other way, or we just become apathetic, and well, who really cares? Oh God, we pray for your healing power and presence within the lives of each of us. Forgive us for the past and enable us, O God, to begin fresh and new right now today. To faithfully be the good news that you've called us to be wherever we will be found later this day and this week, in the days, weeks, months, years ahead. O God, we come also to pray for one another. For the names of individuals that have been voiced today, for the situations around us, for your church, for the names of individuals listed on our prayer list, for those situations and individuals, O God, who could not be made public. We pray for the healings of people, for the healings of the nations. We pray for health and wholeness, for your guiding and directing spirit. Oh God, we pray for one another. Those sitting on our left and those on our right, those in front of us and behind us, those known and unknown, those empty pews, those neighbors and co-workers, that need to experience your grace and your forgiveness and the love that will hold on to them and never let them go. Oh God, may we be enablers this week of your Spirit. Oh God, we ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We pray now that your Spirit will rest upon us as we unite our voices together in the words that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare now to hear these words from John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15, please stand with me in body or in spirit. Hear now these words from John's Gospel that Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture, even the ones that seem a little confusing. But we know that your presence is upon us and that you will guide and direct us. And so now, O God, we pray that your presence might open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to receive your words for us today. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. The truth hurts sometimes. We grow up raising our children to tell the truth from the time they are old enough to know better. And nothing seems worse to a parent of a preschooler or a grandparent of a preschooler than to have a child lie to them. A note went home with the school children that said this: if you don't believe everything your son or daughter tells you went on at school, I will not believe everything your son or daughter says happens at home. Interestingly, children learn quickly that truth is relative. Indeed, there are some times when they soon learn that the truth can be painful. How many times has a young child embarrassed us? Whew! Aunt Matilda's breath really stinks. Whew, Uncle Samuel is really big. How many times have parents encouraged their children to tell the truth, but to remember that in some instances, well, as the saying goes, discretion is the better part of valor. And so our children grow up with mixed messages. To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Or maybe then we tried to teach them, well, it's always best to tell the truth, but sometimes you need to tell the truth when you're in the car and it's private. In fact, children learn quickly that sometimes truth can indeed hurt. My guess is that none of us are really that far removed because of the children that surround us, either as nieces and nephews or grandchildren or our own, that we remember those difficult days of their discernment. Perhaps we've been cut down also by truthful words that come to us from a family member or a friend. Perhaps we've even discovered the truth of an employment evaluation that honestly assesses our strengths and our weaknesses, and we've just had to come to terms with the fact of where we're not necessarily blessed in our places of employment. Maybe we've come to the conclusion that, well, that relationship is just not working out, and so we let it fade away. Oh, if the truth is told, indeed, at times the truth hurts. And with all of this in mind, then, we approach the words in our text this Sunday today from John. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into the truth. As we read the words, I wonder if we're tempted to ask, well, how confusing must this have been for the first century disciples? And we remember the words of Pilate when Jesus was before him and he said, "What is truth?" What is the truth of the Scriptures? Oh, we hear the Scriptures, but do we really hear them? Do we hear what we want? Or do we really hear what God wants us to hear? To hear the Scriptures is to listen with more than just our ears. It's to listen with our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, to hear with our whole being. Yesterday was a wonderful event in our household. Leanna's mom and dad and the four of us traveled to Charleston, West Virginia, where a three-year journey didn't come to an end. It's just another beginning. But for 3 years, Leanna's been traveling about once a month down to West Virginia, to Charleston, to the West Virginia Institute of Spirituality. And yesterday, she received her certification as a spiritual director. I say a three-year journey, but it's really a life journey. And in one of the readings, as her spiritual director was conferring the certification upon her, looked at Leanna and said, in hearing the words of God, we must allow the words to transform us. That, my friends, is critical to the Word of God. To allow the Word of God to transform us. Do we allow the Word of God to transform us? Or do we just allow the words to transform us as far as we want to go, or only the words of God that we like or agree with, but not all? Or are we yet a child and not willing to hear the things that we need to hear? I wore this tie today for a reason, my VeggieTail tie. If you're not familiar with VeggieTails, you need to look them up. It's a great way over the last 20 years that the secular world grabbed hold of biblical stories and have made them come alive for our children, for our young adults. Daniel in the Lion's Den, Shadrach and Benny, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Madam Blueberry on dealing with stuff, in materialism, and there's got to be about a dozen of them. Biblical stories so children may hear and see and learn and know the biblical stories. When we hear Scripture, do we allow it to transform us? My friends, it is my hope and prayer that we may hear the words of Jesus and allow His words to transform us. And then may we be the words of Jesus Christ to the world. His hands, His feet, His ears, His eyes, His voice. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, how easy it is to listen, but to not necessarily hear. And how easy it is, O God, to listen and hear, but to not allow words to change us and to transform us. But transformation is what Scripture is all about. To make us, to transform us into that person that You have created us to be. Oh God, as we go into the world to be Your church, may we allow Your transforming presence to shape us and mold us every single day. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our parting hymn number 64, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. Gracious, loving God, into the world you send each and every one of us. Your words, we hear them. Your Spirit, O God, transform us, that we might be your disciples, your servants, your children in and to the world. For we go in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.